It's good to see you. So you're looking pretty sharp today. You can tell them that too. You're looking pretty sharp. Not looking as good as me, but you're doing all right. Go ahead and tell them that if you want. Now, we love that you're here with us. If this is your first time, we want to say welcome. If it's your second time, we want to say welcome. You're part of our family, and we honor you today. And it's a great day to celebrate Memorial Day weekend, and we're gonna water baptize about six candidates, I believe. And if anybody wants to jump in that one and say, I'd love to be water baptized today, then join us over in the side kiosk right after the service. We'll dunk you too, and we'll talk to you a little bit. Some of you may need to be held down a little bit longer than others, and that's all right. I was baptized a couple times as a youth, so the main thing is that you love Jesus, and he's Lord of your life. And it's a reflection of that life lived for Christ, that dedication. You're saying, Lord, I'm with you, and you're in my life, and I want to be a testimony, give testimony to that, and be water baptized. I just want to speak for a couple moments before we continue in our worship. I pray that you guys enjoy the music and the celebration today. I just appreciate Ted's kids' moment. That was awesome. That was awesome. Where's Ted at? Awesome job, buddy. That was really good. That was really cool. Thank you. I love Pastor Paul, what God's doing and how he's putting our team together and how God's moving in our services. I don't know about you guys, but every Sunday we've been coming together, God's just been showing up and doing some amazing things among us. So y'all sense that in your heart? It's just like every time we get together, it's like he surprises us again. And I love that. I love when God has his way and God speaks to our hearts and he's doing amazing things right here at Rock Hill First. And I thank you for being a part of it. And invite you, if you're kind of checking us out, to join us and join hands. I really feel like this season we're in right now, our city needs Jesus Christ. Rock Hill needs Jesus. And I'm asking God that he would send us men and women, young people, boys and girls, so that we can rally together and do great exploits for God in these last days, that we can reach lost people. Amen. I also want you to be encouraged. We're part of about 85 churches across our district of South Carolina. Assemblies of God churches and other non-denominational churches that want to join arms with our fellowship. We are a fellowship of churches. We're not really, Assemblies of God's not a denomination. It's a fellowship of churches. And we're, of course, I love it because we're in the world missions. We're a leader in world missions around the world. But right here in our own state, several of our staff and Bradley and some others joined us for district council this past week. And I just want to tell you, God's moving in our state. He's doing amazing things. I don't know, I've recalled Pastor Paul, I've been to a lot of these. We've been in the district for 20 years. And I told Pastor Bob, our superintendent, I said, this is probably one of the best district councils I can recall in quite some time. There's a spirit of unity. It was the most attended district council we've had in some years. It was there's a spirit of unity, there's a motivation and a momentum about what God's doing in our churches across this land. You guys agree with me? We just sensed that. There was a powerful anointing in the services, and there's a big push for church planting. And I told Pastor Bob when we first got here, I said, I want you to count on us when the timing is right, and we know God's in this, and we know God's going to help us. We're going to plant churches in Rock Hill in the greater area. We're going to plant churches, guys. It's part of my heart, part of our vision, and we're going to do it. Y'all believe it with me? We're going to plant churches. Hallelujah. There's four areas that are on the focus list. They want to plant 100 churches within the next 5 years across the state. And there's four areas within our reach that we want to be a part of. And so help us. I want to see our church grow so that we can do more for God. Amen? And he can take us and help us to make an impact on this community for him. And so I'm excited about that. But I've got you standing because I want you to think about the Word of God this morning. In Luke chapter 24, I cannot let go of this. Chris, I've been camping out on this, that being clothed with power. Everybody say clothed with power. Clothed with power. In Luke 24, we see Jesus is speaking. He's reappearing to his disciples, his last few moments before the ascension. And we see Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he gives them some very important things for us to grab a hold of today. So he's leaving. They see his scars. They hear him, and he says, I had to suffer that you may know. And he's quoting Isaiah. And he said, I had to suffer so that you may know. And so he's beginning to talk about what is next. He said, what are you going to do with all this? He's asking the question, what are you going to do with all this, all that you've seen just now? my death and or my crucifixion and my death and my resurrection. And now what are you going to do with all this? And he goes into this talking about preaching forgiveness for the forgiveness of sins, and it will be preached to all nations. And he's talking about, it's better that I go away so that I can send my Holy Spirit to be with you. Go with me, if you will, Luke 24. I can kind of lead you maybe better if we get into the Word and walk through this just for a moment before we continue with our worship. He said to them, this is what I've told you in verse 44 of 24. If you're there, say, praise the Lord. This is what I've told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled, what is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Verse 45, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And next week we're going to begin to walk. I love the way Pastor Ted laid this out, because we're going to be walking in Matthew 13, and we're going to be walking through the importance of the scriptures, the importance of prayer, the importance of locking in with God and being focused on his Spirit. And so even this coming Wednesday night and Thursday morning, I'd like for as many of you that can will commit with me as a church body to be here at 6:30 on Wednesday night for our prayer meeting. All right? This is Wednesday night, 6:30, for 1 hour. I'm asking you to come and pray with us. And then Thursday morning, if you can't come on Wednesday night, Thursday morning at 10:30 as well, from 10:30 to 11:30. I'm asking that as many will partner with Mary Alice and I and our staff and our team here, you'll come and pray with us for four Wednesday nights, four Thursday mornings. It's just like we did in January. I want us to pray. And I've always seen God bless the church when we commit to prayer and we seek God. Lord, we're believing you for great things this summer and this fall. We got a lot of things coming up. We got a lot of events coming up, and we need the power of God. Amen? So I'm asking if you'll come and pray with us. He opened their minds to Scripture, and he told them, verse 46, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. This is key here. He's quoting Isaiah, and he's saying, you are witnesses of these things, but this is what I want you to get. Underline this or highlight this in your word, in your heart. Verse 49, I'm going to send you, everybody say, send you, what my Father has promised. Dads, if you promise your kids something, you better come through with it, amen? Parents, if you make a promise, you come through with it. Be a man, be a woman of your word, be a person of integrity, and the Father will not lie to us. And Jesus says, "I, this is what the Father has promised. Watch this. The Father has promised, but stay. Everybody say, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. In the Greek there, it literally means that you actually put on a cloak. You put on your clothes. You put on your jacket. You're being clothed with the power of God. The power, the promise of His Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but in these last days, we need the presence, the power, the third person of the Trinity. We need the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our lives, in our cars, in our homes, at our workplace. We cannot live, we cannot survive without the Holy Spirit. Or you can survive, but you can get along, but you're not going to get along like God wants you to get along. We need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to get this in your heart today. We need the Holy Spirit. Luke is telling us that, the Lord is telling us here in Luke to turn from sin, believe in me. He says, then when you do this, when you're clothed with power, you guys can be seated if you want to. I have you standing. I have you standing all day because I'm up here. I'm not even thinking about it. You're like, when is he going to let me sit down? Come on. Sorry about that. I'm used to looking at Mary Alice. I couldn't see her over there unless she's right here. She's probably telling me, have him sit down. She helps me. It's amazing how much you see up here when you're up here. You can see everything going on. I don't know if you guys know that or not. I can see everything. I can see outside. I can see up on the balcony. I can see what's going on. And I can see what Mary Alice is giving me, this and whatever she's telling me to do. You can see everything. Jesus says, when you do this, when you turn from sin and believe in me, when you preach this way, and I pray that we preach that way. I believe we're doing that. If we're not preaching the way that we should be preaching, then somebody... don't come up and just, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, just because you we're not doing what you want us to do. But if we're not preaching the gospel, the word of God, then come up and tell us we're not preaching the word. I need to hear that. I know Pastor Paul's preaching. I know Ted's preaching. I know Pastor Jordan's teaching it. I know I'm doing my best to teach it. We've got to teach and preach the repentance of sins. Amen? We got to call it like it is. We got to let the Holy Spirit do the conviction. We bring the word. He does the conviction part of that. And we love people. But when you do this, when you preach this way, it brings an extension of the kingdom to, we're participants. I love what Pastor Jordan, he puts it that way, that we're participating in what God is already doing. And when we preach that way, because Jesus said to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins, that's what he said to preach. And that's what we're going to preach. He says, when you preach that way, watch me do some amazing things among you. When you preach that way, watch what happens. We become participants with Jesus. You think Jesus would say, okay, now you've seen it. You see me do it. You got the goods. Now go and do what I say. And that's not what he says here. That's not what he says. He says instead, what does he say? Go to Jerusalem, and that four-letter word, what does he say? And wait, 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 wait. Be clothed in power. The power of a spiritual kind is the blending of correct doctrine with the power from on high. It's the blending. Listen, when you get, you guys in chemistry class, was anybody really good at chemistry class? I was awful at chemistry. I probably blew up more labs than I was a part of on the team. Nobody wanted me on their team. But you're mixing the stuff together. But when you mix the sound doctrine of the Word of God, and you mix that with the power of the Holy Spirit, man, there's no telling what God can do. God can blow the roof off this place. Amen? He can do great exploits in this house and through this house and through your life. He can change the dynamics right where you're at, the context of where you're at. When you allow the presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, mixed with sound doctrine, knowing what His Word says, you put that together, that's a powerhouse. That's when you're being clothed with power. Clothed with power. Nothing can take the place of this. No person, no group, no book, no motivational speaker, no song, no concert, no seminar, no conference, no job, no amount of money, no possessions. Come on, that's a good place to say amen, Pentecostal church. Nothing else can be of an eternal spiritual kind other than that which is from God and of God and of a supernatural spiritual nature from on high. It must be from God, not from man. And for us to attain that, to be clothed with power, we're living in an instant world, and we've heard that preached so many times, but it's true. We want painless, we want comfort, we want it now, we want the number one. You know what that means, so you bring it all on. All you got to say is number one. We want it easy. It's not that way in God's economy. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all that's right, and then all that's right, all in His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But the key of that is seeking Him. So many times we want the benefits of God and we don't want to do what it takes to get to the benefits of God. A sacrificial life, the giving of yourself, the servanthood heart, the humbling of ourselves, the saying, Lord, it's not about me, but it's about you. It's literally putting on clothes with power. I have to put it on. I have to do the work, Tammy. I have to actually wake up in the morning and want to meet with God. You know, I want the blessings of God. I want the covering of God. But am I really in relationship with Him? Am I really walking? Am I asking Him to be part of my day? Am I welcoming Him into my heart? Am I sitting down and listening to His Word? Listen, in the church and how we do things in the church, we've got to be clothed with power. Our team, our staff, our volunteers, we've got to be clothed with power. And we come together, we've got to trust God. It's not about how we can do it, how our cleverness or our abilities or our planning. It's not about that. It's about the Spirit of God working in and through us. The power of God. Psalm 127:1, the psalmist says, unless the Lord build the house, our labor is in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house. I've been around this thing long enough to see some houses built and they fell down because the Lord didn't build the house. It was man that built the house. It was man that built the programs. It was man that built the fast track. It was man who did all this, and we left God out of it. And that's what's wrong with the church today, and we're trying to get back on track as a church at large. We're trying to get back on track, and we're trying to introduce ourselves to the nation again today. But our nation is in need of seeing the power of God, not man's efforts. We've got to be vehicles and vessels for this. His promise to us. Do I yell too much at you guys? I get excited. I start yelling. I don't mean to do that. I get excited. Is that okay? Am I doing all right? Okay. His promise to us. I will be with you. We don't have to do it by ourselves. I will be with you. Power to represent him to earth. It's an awesome thing, Carlos, to think about. The power to represent God on earth. I'm not talking about it from a pastor standpoint. I'm talking about your life. You. The power to represent a living God here on earth. Who feels worthy of that? Bradley, I mean, the power of a living God, to represent the power of God. Who feels worthy of that? It can't be in our carnal nature. It can't be in us. We are flesh. We are skin. And we do represent God, but it can't be our own efforts. It has to be something greater than us, something supernatural, something God-given, something from above, something greater than our own efforts. It has to be the Holy Spirit in us, working through us, clothed with power. So what will we do? What will we do in these last days? And with this, God wants to do a supernatural move of his Holy Spirit. So the question is this: what kind of life or what kind of ministry does he want us to have? I don't believe it's something that he wants us to have to jump through hoops to get to. Do these 17 things and then you'll experience being clothed with power. I don't think it's about that. I think Jesus showed us what it is. It's about being clothed with power from on high, waiting on God, tarrying in the Holy Spirit, waiting on God's presence to show up. I recently heard a startling statistic. Warren Wiersbe said that half of the people who claim to be evangelical in America may not even be born again. Think about it. Half the people in evangelical America, in our churches this morning, may not even understand having a relationship with Jesus. They're just doing their religious duty. They're just doing their thing. Some of you here at Rock Hill First, you've been here for a while, and we talked a little bit about this before, but you remember the nights where we would tarry around the altar and wait on God. Everybody say wait. Hungry for the baptism, hungry for the presence of God, feeling the urgency that just, it felt urgent in our hearts to tell people about Jesus. When we went out from these walls, we were just telling people about Jesus everywhere. And people the church was growing, and people were excited to know that they were being converted, they were following after Christ. And what Jesus was reminding us of this morning, and I want the worship team to come on back up. We're gonna close out with a couple more songs. But I want you guys to get hold of this morning is that when the Lord opened their eyes, it says that Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. He says, but stay in the city until you have been clothed. You might say it one more time with me. Clothed with power from on high. Acts 4 says this. It describes to us that you must be bold. And I want us to be bold in our worship together, Jeff. I want us to go all in. Man, if you're getting excited about a song, I don't want you to... Some of you, and that's okay if you worship kind of reserved. That's all right. But can we just go all in? Because I've seen you be fanatics of ball games. I know you can get loud a little bit if you want to. I want us to get loud for Jesus. I want us to get excited about God. I want us to worship him with all of our heart and not hold back. You know, I want to be clothed in power, and I want to experience the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our services, but I don't want it to be obnoxious or legalistic, but bold, right? Paul said, he encouraged the church, don't quench the Holy Spirit in your worship. Well, we don't have to be obnoxious about it. We can be real about it and let God do what he wants to do. Loving, but bold. Again, being clothed with power, not of ourselves or our traditions or our version of what Christianity may look like, but it must be led by his Holy Spirit. Amen? Led by the Holy Spirit. Cannot God lead us? We put plans together. We put an order of service together. But cannot God lead us? I think some of the tech crew get a little frustrated with me because they never know where I'm going next sometimes. And I say, that's all right, because I want the Holy Spirit to lead this thing. Amen? I want God to lead us. If you remember in Acts, Paul was in Turkey. He wanted to go to Damascus, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go there. And what do you think, what do you do when you don't know what to do? You don't know what to do, what do? Wait. Wait on God. He waited and God used him to reach many. So to get into places with God, we must listen to his voice. We must wait on him. And I'm going to give you this last thing. Dallas Willard, he said this. He said, the biggest challenge for the Christians today is the word hurry. Hurry. We must rid our lives of hurry. Amen? We must rid our lives of hurry. And we've got to carve out time to listen to the Holy Spirit. Mary Alice, if you go ahead and start giving me a little bit of worship music there. There we go. We must rid our lives with of hurry, and we must wait on the Holy Spirit. We are living in